I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Gold Diggers podcast, women's football. I'm here with two great panelists as usual. If you want to introduce yourself, first to my right, Lauren.
Lauren at Lauren Coys.
Marva at Marva MSK.
And I'm hosting today, Moyo at Moyo's Laboratory. So let us kick off with the agenda we've got. Obviously, this is a so funny. I was like, this is so sad that ain't where the camera is.
New studio.
Teething problems. So we said, first of all, maybe calm our nerves with
some punch. Cheers
to everyone. Happy and cheers to the studio and cheers to the World Cup. Yes. So what do we have first on the agenda? We have to talk, well, coming off of the back of yesterday's warm-up game for England, we have to talk about the Lionesses squad. So first of all, let's start with yesterday's game. Did you guys see the game? Cool. So, So it was an England versus Portugal warm-up game before the World Cup. What were your thoughts on what you saw, and how much do you think it will carry importance for what England are going to do in the World Cup?
It didn't surprise me, which in itself is just a bit worrying.
Yeah.
Like, I flicked on, I think, half an hour in, and it was like, yeah, 0-0. I was like, yeah, I expected that.
Yeah.
And then for it to end 0-0, it's problems that we've had for basically since Mead's been out.
Mm-hmm.
We're struggling to score goals. We're struggling to create chances. It's all very predictable.
Mm-hmm.
There doesn't really seem to be a plan B. What I would say is, in Serena we trust, so I feel like I could be negative like this, and then she just surprises me, and they know what they're doing when it comes to it. But
yeah,
it just made me think, like, if you compare that game to the send-off game for the Euros, that Netherlands game. It could not be two more different
worlds
games.
Yeah.
Because that was one where it started, Netherlands scored, and then I had a similar feeling of like, oh, here we go. Like, you know, we're looking at being favourites, but we're not. We're never going to be as England. And then we just blew them apart.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, like, we've got...
It was exciting
and it was like, you knew what the connections were, you knew what the link-ups were, you knew what the plan A was, the plan B was. It was like, this is exciting and this is not exciting.
No. I felt like my emotions flicked between boredom and frustration.
Yeah.
That's all I felt when I was watching it. I think... The injuries that the squad has, I think my biggest concern was always, it wasn't necessarily drop off in quality, but it was the drop off in leadership.
Yeah.
And I felt like I saw a team that nobody took responsibility on the pitch. No one said, okay, this is our last game before a major tournament. You now have a target on your back. You're one of the favourites. And I didn't see a team that looked like they believed that they could go on and go late in the tournament. For me, it's an important game. It's your last game. and we didn't really see any combinations of play. Like we didn't see anything. There wasn't an identity about the team. I think a few people just had bang average games, and I don't think we're any closer to kind of thinking what is the strongest lineup. And I was just a bit like, yeah, I was bored, and then I was annoyed as well because I just think even when Russo came on and there were a few more chances, just think, how can you just miss? There was just a couple of times where I was just like, okay, so you lot can't put the ball in the back of the net. I think the Hemp's back pass to Mary Earps just summed up the whole match because I'm thinking you guys are not even concentrating, you're not focused on the task at hand, and I think if you're not taking the warm-up game, bearing in mind you only got one, if you're not taking it seriously, if you go into a game with that mentality against who's on our side of the draw, like Australia, Germany, if you go into any of those games, you will lose.
There were a few moments where our centre backs, especially as we more like had the ball and just took a little bit too long with it, and nothing came of it. But you just think against a better team,
when you get pressed, like Australia, before, like it, just not good.
It's good that you guys actually mentioned the centre backs in general, because I was gonna ask. No, honestly, I was gonna ask.
What? Where's my Leticia?
No, obviously. I'm not here to be an advocate for United players. Maybe some would say that she should have been there. Who am I to argue? Who am I really in the grand scheme of things? But like, what do you think Serena's thinking is for backline, and where she sees people fitting in?
I mean, I'm a little bit confused because I thought that when I saw Carter and Greenwood on the lineup, I definitely thought it was going to be the other way around. Which is interesting. I think I wouldn't, if Bright was there, I understand the thinking, but behind putting Greenwood on the left.
Because that was her initial...
It's her initial position. Mm-hmm. I think she can do well there. But it just... I'm just not convinced by that back line. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the balance is right. I think that her thinking behind it all is she's trying to sort of do a like-for-like in Bright and Williamson and have one more ball-playing centre-back, one more just kind of physical. Which... I guess is what she kind of wanted from Carter in this game, although that's not Carter's only ability, but the thinking but behind that, putting her as centre back and the thinking behind even choosing Esme in the first place. But it doesn't seem like we know who our best starting back four is, and that's quite worrying. The fact that Bright didn't even like warm up, like as in like other
she's
players,
not even trained with the team.
Do you know what I mean? You saw like Jordan Orb starting to warm up at least on the side, like there was no direction for Millie Bright to do that, and she is 100% our best defender. Even when Williamson's fit, there's an argument she's our best defender. So
agreed.
She's the organizer at the back. I think that was what I was watching yesterday. I was thinking, who's organizing what you guys are doing? Who's setting the line? And I think, I can understand that she put Alex on the left, but then you don't have a leader in that back. In that central pairing, and I'm thinking, well, you can't play that pairing. That cannot be the pairing that starts. I think the big concern is now Millie Bright not being fit for that first game, because if she's not still even really training with the team, the games are in 3 months' time. So I'm thinking she may have to do something. If Millie Bright's not ready, I don't think she can play as me and Jess Carter. And I finished the game thinking, where's Maya Letizia? So it's not just a United thing. I was thinking she should have been in that. She should have been that list, regardless of Millie Bright's fitness. She should have just been picked. And I think she would have, if she was playing as part of that centre-back pairing, it just wouldn't have looked as dodgy as it did. Bearing in mind, Portugal are good. They've got some talented players, but that's not as, you're not going to be pushed that hard playing Portugal. But that is a big concern.
What do you think Serena's thinking is? Because it's funny, because we've spoken all about like how she sees certain players versus how we see them. And obviously she played Esme yesterday again at centre-back. So it was clear that she sees Esme as a centre-back.
And then apparently sees Melody as a right-back. I don't know. It's an odd one because I just think, even compared to like Lotta, for example, like I would trust Melody more than Lotta Moy, just because of, not even in terms of talent, but in terms of game time they've had this season, the pressure that's been on their backs. I thought Wimmer actually stepped up well once there were the injuries to the Arsenal team. But Letizia has played the main role in a Man United team who could have won the league, came second. Like,
I mean, I've had the best defence in the league.
Made it into team of the season. Like, I would just trust her more than I would trust a lot of those other centre-backs. Mm-hmm. Especially, like, while I really rate Jess Carter, but Jess Carter hasn't played as a centre-back in a two.
In ages.
So,
like, consistently in ages.
Yeah, the only time she slots into it is in a free. And if she was playing next to Lily Bright, maybe I could understand, because there's a relationship there, having that Chelsea connection. But then I think she has no business being in the back two if there isn't really Bright next to her.
I also can't imagine Serena starting Bright and Carter as the two centre backs. I think it's not dynamic enough.
I think, because then I think it's funny though, because even though Jess Carter can actually really pass, when she plays at centre back, that isn't her role.
Exactly.
She's very much focused on the kind of 1v1. She got slotted in if they know they've got, you know, quick inside forwards and things like that. But I mean, we're focusing on the defence, and you know, the other parts of the pitch.
Other parts of the pitch also.
But I think
I feel like every part of them.
I think it's good. Let's touch on the midfield, because the midfield, to be honest, even for the past few years, has always been the position that most people have said England they don't have options. They don't have that many top quality options there. If we even look at some of the options that were considered, like Jordan Nobbs is going, for example, and she started playing a couple months ago. Do you get what I mean? She started playing a couple months ago. Katie Zellum did not go to the Euros.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The midfield right now is comprised of people that most of them have not had strong roles at a World Cup before. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah. No, you're right.
Like, going into it, it seems as though Kira Walsh is definitely going to be starting. She plays in the last, which is fair.
Yeah.
Georgia Stanway was not starting at the last World Cup.
Yeah.
Ella Toon / Lauren James, who knows who's playing at number 10.
Yeah.
Both of them have not been to a World Cup before. And I want to ask, where do you think England need to focus in terms of that midfield and making sure that they're dynamic enough to create chances but also to help defence?
I mean, I think the good thing is I think the reason why we're not that attuned with, like, all the options for midfield is because actually our starting midfield is up there with some of the best in the world.
Yeah, agreed.
Like, Kira Walsh and Stanway, like,
It's a great duo.
Especially the season that Stanway's had playing a slightly deeper role, I think it really helps.
Completely
in
agree.
What England
she's
needs.
Massively improved again since she's gone to Bayern.
But then people, I think, it's easy to forget the role that Kirby played and how important she was, because she didn't even have the best Euros when we won it.
No, she was completely unfit when she started, but you see her impact, absence, you notice it.
It takes a few moments. She's someone who just has it in her to pull off like a moment that leads to a goal. Yeah. And Toon, while she has that, of course, and we saw it in the Euros, but it was off the bench.
Yeah.
She's had a bit of an inconsistent season. You can speak to this more than me, but
she's been consistently poor. Actually, I'd
agree. Second half of the season, she's not been good.
But so for me, I think it is actually the number 10 role that's more so, and also
up for grabs.
Yeah, and
that's
the
problematic area. That's, I think.
So you made a good point there, to be honest, with Kirby being the one that was starting at the Euros. How do you think, in general, England are going to cope with a lot of the people that were having to be game changers at the Euros now starting?
Well, I could see Nobbs coming off and making a difference.
Yeah, I think for me, I didn't understand why Ella Toon was in the starting lineup without Rousseau. And I know they don't, you know, people want to, you know, put them together, but I think they are but I think they're both very, very good impact players, and there's a connection between them to argue that if you're going to maximize their impact, you need to play them together, and I think you need to play them off the bench. So I didn't see what Toon was offering, so it didn't surprise me that she got hooked at half time. I think Lauren James can play in the 10, but that's reliant upon England getting the ball out wide so she has space, because putting her in the 10, but then, you know, everything's packed through the middle, mm-hmm. It's not going to do great. I think Jordan Nobbs may play the Jill Scott role, you know, just a bit of experience, a bit of leadership coming off the bench into mm-hmm. midfield to kind of lock the game down. But I don't think we're going to see, you know, like that cricket scorelines. Yeah, yeah, dynamic, you know, goal after goal after goal, because there's clearly, you know, with the combination of players, and we've seen various combinations in kind of the 10 role and the Y players, it just is something that's just not clicking.
I think it's also like what you kind of forget about not having Mead is while last Euros we also did feed a lot of our stuff through the width, mm-hmm. But then what Mead gives you is not only the ability to feed it through to the wide players, but she can score from those positions as well.
Yeah.
Whereas what we were finding in the game yesterday was very much like, it was just repeat after repeat, go out wide, they put a ball in, no one's there to finish it off, or they don't finish it off. Mm. And there wasn't that cut in, I mean, Chloe Kelly had it more when she came on, but there wasn't that cutthroat thing of out to the wide player, and then they come in and actually create something. It was just across. And against better teams, they will lock down that option straight away. Mm-hmm. They'll be able to see it a mile off. And then it's like, well, what else do you have? And I think I would be excited to see Lauren James in the number 10 role more so. But she's got to sort of step it up. If she's going to play there, you've got to be aware that wide option is likely to be closed off. So what can you do? You have to bring in some individual brilliance, which is what Kirby had to do.
Yeah,
and I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, I agree as well, because I think the thing with Beth Mead, it was 1 in 2, and you think she's going to get a goal. Mm-hmm. Whereas, and you know, when I look at our wide players, they're not as clinical as she was. And I think Ella Toon and Lauren James are also not as clinical as Fran Kirby. And I also think Russo, you know, we also had the argument of the number 9. Obviously, I have Spurs bias, but I was really frustrated not to see Beth England get any minutes in a game that was asking for a clinical striker, somebody who is 1 in 2, 1 in 3. Mm-hmm. I think if you've got Russo on that pitch, that's a 1 in 5, 1 in 6. That's the reality. Like she's very good at what she does, and she links up play. And I think she held the ball up much better than Rachel Daly did.
Yeah.
So the team was allowed to play.
It's almost like she should play in the number 10.
And have a clinical striker ahead of her, perhaps.
I think that is why, though, I liked the look of it when Lauren James was on and Russo, because James at United, there were often times she played at the 10 and she was interchanging with the 9.
Like
Russo is the same.
Yeah.
So I feel like that worked. But as Lauren was saying, I feel like it only works with wide wingers that stay wide. So like, I think that's where Serena's got a conundrum, in the sense that I almost think the City wide players are the only ones that offer Katie Robinson brings the same in terms of staying wide, but she
doesn't have the output.
She doesn't have the output.
Yeah. No.
So I feel like Lauren Hemp and Chloe Kelly are probably the only two that stay wide. You know what you're getting with them. They both can take on a fullback 1v1. And I feel like they may have to start.
Mm-hmm.
The problem becomes then, who is playing the role that Chloe Kelly played at the Euros? Is that supposed to be Katie Robinson? Is that supposed to be...
Well, speaking to this, and you can answer this as well.
I'm nervous.
In terms of controversial choices and many left out.
I know where you're going with this, and I might agree.
Robinson, Nikita Paris.
Boy,
I was shocked.
I'll be honest, you know me... I'm not one at all in many cases,
I'll be honest, but yeah, I was very shocked she wasn't. She found form.
I feel like the last couple months of the season, so like there was a period she got dropped for a bit, yeah, and Lucia Garcia was coming on and scoring all the time. So it's kind of like, step your game up. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like she did step her game up. And I felt like towards literally the last, I'd say like 6 weeks of the season, it felt like she was finding form, and especially in a team, as you guys were saying, that's not experienced. Like this World Cup roster is not experienced. So I feel like she definitely could have brought something. And Serena's, you've worked with her, you know what she's about, you know what she can bring. I did find it strange because they're saying, oh, Kate Robinson, it's a good experience for her.
We don't have time for that experience.
Lauren James, this is already their experience.
It's almost like she would have been in a better place to get that experience last Euros in terms of what the squad was. Because there wouldn't have been a reliance on her to come.
It
would more be just the experience of you there. Because Mead's there, has got it covered.
Exactly.
Chloe Kelly's got it covered. Hemp's got it covered. Like, if there we need someone options. Off the bench, it's going to be Kelly. Like, it's kind of it. Whereas now, though the rest of them, we don't have a Mead, the rest of them, there's pressure on them and no one's fully delivering at the level that Mead was. So anyone who's coming off the bench actually needs to deliver.
And the context of the game that you could be coming on at, actually you could be coming on, it could be, I don't know, round of 16 against Australia, 80,000 people in that stadium, and you need to come on and make an impact. I think Nikita Paris, the one thing that she has got is that she's been at Lyon, she's played in the big some of the biggest games in women's football. That pressure will not faze
she's
her.
She's got World Cup experience.
Exactly. And I just think, I do personally, you know, in Serena we trust, but I think she's picked a lot of but yeah, I think she's brought a lot of inexperienced players, which
I'm not mad at completely, because at the end of the day they are going to have to at one point step up. By the time the next World Cup is on, the people that are 30 now are going to be like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, we were not going to have Jordan Knobbs.
Like,
yeah,
had a good season. Like, she's done very well. I just think in terms of, like, there's actually going to be a lot of pressure on that role, whoever is having to come on. And
yeah,
I just don't know whether someone more experienced would have been a better choice.
I do agree with you on that. I do think Nikita Paris should have gone. And I'm not, listen, if you'd asked me mid-season, I would have said, boy, if she don't go, that's on her.
That's on her.
It's not my business. But, like, in this case, I do think.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
She was hard done by
not
going, especially when, like, if it was a team of veterans and then you brought Katie Robinson, I'll say, fair enough.
Mm.
But, like, 70% of this squad is getting their first World Cup proper experience. So, like, you don't need, like, not handouts, but, like, you don't need to give these experiences to any more people. You don't need to. Obviously, I'm not saying if Serena wants to do it, she can do it. But, like, it was strange for me.
Especially in a squad of 23 to think.
It's not big.
Yeah. And I know she's had a good season, but equally, you know, what are the matches that she's played in, you know, where actually something's on the line or you're competing for something big? And you carried your team, you know, over that. I think she's missing that, but
it's funny because I think that was the stick that was used to beat May Letizia with. From what Serena said in the press conference, she said that, like, that was the toughest decision, deciding who the last. So there were, like, two extra spots for centre backs, and from what she said, it was between May Letizia, Esme, and Lotta, and
Stefna.
Mother, please. I'm not gonna lie though, towards the end I was fighting for Steph.
I was thinking maybe we have to take her for the experience.
After Leo went down, I said,
you need a captain in that squad. I was thinking maybe you need a captain, a former captain in that team, just to set the standards and the tone and the mentality of, you know, this is how we do things.
But, like, and then I think she said that the determining factor was how many high pressure or, like, big stage things they'd, like, been in. So essentially it was like Champions League. Not even this year, the year before. The year before last. The year they got to the quarterfinals and they played Barcelona in that quarterfinal, she played in both those legs.
So she's, somebody who she, from would she have two done, seasons.
Like, FA Cup and stuff though as well.
Yeah, she's done FA. She's been in final. She's good. Yeah. She's done FA Cup. Like
what? So my Letizia wasn't playing at Wembley.
That was one. Was one game and it was one L. I'll be real. Yeah, that's it. It was one game and it was one L. Like, I'm telling you, I feel like it was fine margins.
Yeah.
Which, you know what? I took it on the chin. I said, there'll be other tournaments for her to go to. Yeah. But when I saw Katie Robinson's name, I said,
exactly. You've got to maintain the same energy across the squad then.
But I think the issue then became, like, centre-back, they had, like, they were really clutching at straws at centre-back. Yeah. And I feel like she thinks they didn't need to clutch at straws at the wide position. Yeah, we're going to have to see about that. Because I do think combination-wise as well, Katie Robinson hasn't had a great opportunity to create those sorts of like relationships and chemistry on the pitch. I mean,
yeah, because so, like, she doesn't at club level, she doesn't play with any of
them. You saw in yesterday's game, Lucy Bronze and Lauren James were linking up a lot, and it's because they've been playing together a lot.
They love each other as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And they have similar footballing brains, to be fair. Yeah.
So, like, you could see they were often trying to find each other, and it's the same as on the left when Alex Greenwood was, you could see him, combinations, chemistry, but like, Katie Robinson hasn't really been given the opportunity to sort of like build those relationships. So I do wonder how the impact is going to be like if she does have to come on.
Talking of club country.
Why am I scared again?
Can we talk about Rachel Daly? What do we think is not clicking in an England shirt?
Do you think though, England in general, that squad clicks for forwards personally? Like, do you actually think that they're, the England setup is good for nines?
I don't see why not.
I think they are good for, it could be good for a poacher, somebody who's in the box.
But that's what she is.
I think
think she's more of a poacher than Alessia Russo. If anything, I get annoyed that she don't poach enough.
But then I think the way though that's that Villa play, when you think of like Jordan Nobbs and Kenza Dali, like a lot of, for me, I find that a lot of their build-up play also goes through the middle.
Yeah.
Whereas I think England's strengths are getting the ball out to your wide players, allowing them to cut inside, put that cross in. There were a couple of times where like Lucy Bronze put, you know, quite a few crosses in that first half, and Rachel Daly just didn't make the right connection. Like she just wasn't in the right place.
I agree. But I would also say it, being at Villa, for example, their setup is to create chances for her. The way England play, I do think it's not a great setup for nines in general. I've even found that since like Ellen White's retired, I don't think they create enough chances for Russo. I think the issue stems from the fact
she did miss a couple of clear cut chances.
I'm not gonna lie, she's gonna miss chances, but I feel like the wide players at England are shoot first wide players. Despite not having the finishing ability of being shoot first wide players,
because they can cut inside in the WSL.
But like at Villa, for example, Kirsty Hansen would have been calm with only getting one goal, and then she'd have got 15 assists. These lot are trying to balance, and so sometimes you're making a run, they're shooting, so it's not about your runs. But I do think that they're not doing enough. She also has to do more, and I also think it's tough because there's no other Villa players in the squad. I think that's what I think as well. It doesn't help that, like, you know how we were saying before,
building the connections.
When Russo plays with two, not X, Y, Z, it's tough.
Nobs and Bethany to start.
No, sorry.
But what about Bethany England then? Because I do think that her coming to a Spurs team where she actually then had to go and fashion out some of start the moves and finish the moves and get herself and actually getting herself into the right position, I think she warrants some minutes, because Rachel didn't out of place, because you're right that there weren't a hell of a lot of chances, but I think Beth has shown that you can even put her down with either more selfish players or slightly lower quality players, but she gets herself into the position where she's going to score the goal. So you just have to provide the ball, and you don't have to provide lows, because Spurs are not a free flowing, attacking creative side. I was so happy that she made the squad, but I just feel like it shouldn't be two tournaments in a row where she's just there as a training partner.
Yeah. You think she can force her way into starting 11?
I don't know about starting, but
coming off the bench.
I think coming off the bench, and I think I think there's the possibility to play 4-4-2 toward like in the last 20 minutes of the game.
I agree. Instead of doing the bright thing.
Yeah. I just think having three strikers who all offer different things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can see Russo and Daly up front. I can see Russo and England up front. Mm-hmm. Like, even James, for example, like, I do think there's the opportunity, and especially when you've got like Walsh and Stanway who can both just
hit
sit and yeah, and hit a long pass, and you wouldn't be too worried about only having those two in the middle in the last 20 minutes if you were trying to get a goal. So I think we might see that, which is where Bethany England could play a part.
Agreed.
But yeah, I do hope that she isn't just left on the bench, because you can see from her season at Spurs, it's like, she's, how many goals she got?
12. She had more than Reece. She finished with more than Reece, I did. Just saying.
Above,
you know,
Reece.
She's talking about stats.
Like, Laura's moving like Reece is already at Arsenal. She hates her because of the Arsenal connection. Like.
Maybe.
Maybe it's subconscious.
Yeah, maybe subconscious. You hate her more now.
I've accepted. No, the thing is, like, but I've said it before on the Reece thing. I know we're here to talk about the World Cup. Mm-hmm. You can replace her from a footballing aspect, because you can go and find another striker that would give you 10, 12 goals in a season. So I don't, you know, United will replace her. And I think England look like they're going to go into the tournament. And it
but
may
will
be...
Will they is another question.
Well, yeah, but, okay, well, new ownership. But I think if England are going to go in and only win games by one or two goals, you then cannot afford to miss four or five.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't do it. Otherwise, we're going to struggle.
Okay. We'll leave it at that for England for now. We're going to have to touch back on them soon. So, yeah. Mm. We have to do, in this second part, guys, predictions. Yeah? So I'm going to hit you with some, like, predictions, basically. Mm-hmm. And then you basically tell me what you think. First of all, who will be winning the 2023 Women's World Cup?
USA. Oh, say, can you see?
Yep.
Yeah.
Reasons for that?
Just look at the squad. They're serial winners. Mm-hmm. I honestly think if England had the team they had at the Euros, if they had Mead, if they had Williamson, if they had Bright, we'd be challenging up there. But I just think that I can't remember if I said it on this pod before, but I just think England's A team
mm-hmm.
is as strong as USA's A team, or at least could compete with it.
Mm-hmm.
Our B team cannot even compete with their B team,
mm-hmm.
let alone their A team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just think they've got too much depth, too much quality, and they know how to win a tournament.
Mm. And I was watching England yesterday, and maybe the other European teams. England looked like they lacked energy. They looked a bit tired. Most of the American players play in the NWSL. They are just getting into fitness. Mm-hmm. The season's mm-hmm. only just started. So I also think that's why they always kind of physically dominate
mm-hmm.
At a World Cup. And they're very much have been there, done it, got the T-shirt, and I think they will collect another T-shirt, to be honest. I don't really see how anyone can topple them.
Okay, which player do you think is going to have a breakout tournament? Pick two, actually, two each.
Breakout as in people don't rate them now?
Because I would say, like, Rodman, for example, mm-hmm. not that they haven't already proven themselves, but
yeah.
I think she, in terms of her going to that next level of being, like, a superstar, I think this is going to be her tournament to be, like,
okay.
Now a superstar.
Okay.
But then, like, you might get an actual breakout from, like, Alyssa Thompson, for example, actual breakout.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She's the last time it was a World Cup, she was, what, like, 13?
Yeah.
So
yeah, yikes.
Yeah, it's so, actually kind of scary.
Yeah.
We're babies. I'm going to go left field because I think this nation will have a better tournament than they did last year at the Euros. But
Norway?
I'm going to say Norway.
I knew it.
And I'm going to say that, because I don't think she gets the respect that she deserves, even in this country, I'm going to say Gora Reiten will become a global look how good she is, because I don't think she gets the flowers in that Chelsea team.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think Norway will not have that another terrible tournament.
Fingers crossed. And anyone else?
She's going to have to play well if they want to go far.
Yeah. And anyone else?
Oh. I was gonna, my other one would have been Trinity Rodman, because I just think, you know, we're all watching that on our clips, so hopefully if Twitter comes back. But I think, you know, when you put her on the world stage, I think, and I think that's the thing about the US, they've been, because of the how good they are, they succession plan. So you know, 4 years ago we were like, oh my god, Alex Morgan.
Yeah.
And now
yeah.
we're kind of like, next gen already here.
Yeah. Whilst Alex Morgan is
still there. Yeah. So yeah.
My breakout, the person who I think is gonna have a breakout tournament is Naomi Girma, plays at centre back for USA. I think she's gonna have a great tournament. I think she has all of the traits you'd want in a centre back. Intelligent and athletic, both. And I feel like oftentimes it's like you get one or the other. Yeah, you get one or the other. She's got both, and she's young. So I feel like if she can have a great tournament, I think they're set for years. And also Carolyn that plays for Brazil, I think she's gonna have a good tournament.
Her and the finalist more.
She was really, really good, really, really good.
I just don't know if I trust Brazil though. That's the only thing.
I don't.
So I think she'll have a good like group stage or like, and then like.
They're still hanging their hopes on Marta, who of course, you know, she can run it back. But it's kind of like,
love her, but like, girl,
you know, it's time.
If you're still relying on her, then saying it's
alright. Okay, breakouts. Dark horse or the competition team?
The thing is, dark horse I find difficult because it's like, no one's winning it. Like, no dark horse is actually winning it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, dark horse to go far then.
Dark horse go far.
Or further than people think.
Maybe Switzerland.
Okay.
I think they've got a few.
Is Lea Valti all right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think. Their tournament's hanging on, whether that ankle.
She was training the other day. She was training the other day. Also, their group's a bit easier.
Okay.
So I think they've got a chance of making it out because they're with the host tournament. So it's like the Philippines, New Zealand. And then Canada, obviously, will get through. But I think they could easily
do something
above New Zealand and Philippines.
And then after that, if you get a good draw, you get a good draw. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. So, maybe them. I'm trying to think who else. I think France. I don't know if they can be considered dark horses, but given how badly they've done in previous tournaments.
True.
But I think with their manager now, like, if they played that well at the Euros and you just saw the raw talent, but they all hated each other and hated their manager... Whereas this year they've got a very good manager who did crazy things with, you know, Saudi Arabia at the World Cup. So I think they've got a chance to do very, very well because their talent is immense as well.
It is. It really is. And that's so even with injuries.
Even so, yeah, I think they've got a very good chance.
Okay. Well. And the final one is going to be top goal scorer. No, it's not the final one, so I've got another one.
Sophia Smith.
I'm going to go like Pop.
Okay, I'm going to go Sam Kerr.
Do you think they'll go far enough?
I'm not going to lie, when they beat England in the Olympics, I started looking at them thinking, I could, like, Sam Kerr.
They've got like a winner's mentality about them as well.
And let's not underestimate home advantage. Yeah. Do you get what I mean?
No. That's...
home advantage, number two, there's a lot of teams in this competition, that Sam Kerr likes dunking on their heads. Yeah. Do you get what I mean?
This is her time. Like, this is her time.
So,
this is her peak as well. Like.
Yeah. I won't be shocked if she's...
She'll be the biggest player at the tournament at the end of the day. So
I will not be shocked if she's top
goal. It is her tournament, let's be real.
Yeah. I just put my stocks in the US because I know they're going to be in that final.
Yeah,
true.
And you know they're going to beat like one team like 20-0 or something.
Yeah. And we're going to see all the headlines. Yeah, exactly.
And the final one is... young player. Who's going to win young player of the tournament?
How old is everyone?
I'm just going to say Sophia Smith again because I feel like she still qualifies in the young.
It'll be someone from the USA.
Yeah. Or Oberdorf if Germany gets to the final again.
I just feel like they never give it to like a midfielder, even though she'll deserve it.
She got it last year at the Euros, to be fair. I think they will be reliant upon her to do her job to get Germany through that tournament.
I think this could be a breakout one for her as well, just in the sense of like she was ridiculous at the Euros.
So good.
I think Germany are going to be better than they were at the Euros.
Yeah, I would go with Sophia Smith as well. We're done with predictions, guys. We will be touching back on what's happening with the World Cup. We'll do another episode before the World Cup, and then we'll get into it when the World Cup is on as well.
Before we finish, I think we are excited, but yeah, we are excited, but I also think that
we're gonna lose.
This is also a tournament though where I think the spotlight should also be shone on the federations who are not doing their jobs. Like, I'm sat here, for example, in my Jamaica shirt.
Yeah.
Jamaica are crowdfunding for their accommodation and their travel costs. So I think as much as we're going to see great football, it's not good enough. Whether you're a small nation like Jamaica, or you're a Canada, you're a France, even Nigeria Spain. Also having problems.
Nigeria's
Spain,
having big problems.
Yeah, Spain. So I think
last World Cup it was Argentina as well. Yeah, didn't get paid.
And you know, this is disgusting. I think the broadcast rights have been an issue. FIFA are, you know, creating how many different armbands just because they don't want to support LGBTQ plus.
I'm sorry, that rights. What was that?
I don't get what impact they think it's having. Also,
why can't
you
just let people?
Because some of the ones that they make are essentially the same as the. You know what I mean?
Some of them were even more radical than one of us. I'm like, this just feels like a petty, like.
Yeah, we don't want you to have it because you want it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's like, oh, this is so stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think as much as, like, you know, this is a tournament to celebrate women's football, I think also we have to talk about the realities of what a lot of these women are going through just to get there, not even knowing if their warm-up camps would take place or whatever. So yeah, good football to come, but also the federations, you should be exposed and you need to do more.
Yeah,
did they stop in the end of the Visit Saudi sponsor for it?
I think they did.
Yeah.
No consistency.
Like, most of the women going are gay women. Why have we got a Visit Saudi sponsorship?
It's just that. Like, just make it make sense.
Yeah.
Like, really,
it never does though, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But having said that, the football I'm excited about, I think looking at, there are a lot of good teams. Like, I felt that about the Euros as well. Like, it's another one where, yes, the USA are out in front, but this is the first time that I've got multiple teams who
it's not a guaranteed at the
moment. It's not guaranteed. There's multiple teams who could beat them on the day. Like, even England, like, you compare England now, even with our B team or whatever, not exactly B team, but you know what I mean, compared to the last World Cup, like, we were, there was no chance of us beating the USA.
Yeah.
And we sort of did a bit better than expected. Whereas, like, this time, yeah, I'd expect the USA to win, but it's a much more even playing field.
Completely.
And I think a lot of teams could challenge the USA. So it's exciting.
Mm. Yeah. Thanks for that, guys. So as usual, make sure to follow the Gold Diggers podcast at Gold Diggers UK on Twitter and Gold Diggers UK _ on Instagram. Make sure to follow the panelists as well. And yeah, stay tuned. We've got another episode coming soon. So stay tuned.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.